got my glasses. Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today? It is a beautiful day outside. We're in here, though. That's good. I'm glad you're all here today. Let's see. We're going to start with 814, and we're going to stand, and I'm going to get a little help while we sing this song today. So as they come forward here, then we'll get started. Thank you, Doug.
Sufficient grace for even me. Broader than this rope of my transgression, singing greater far than all my sins. My sin and shame will magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
Guys, here we go. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Here we go.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus. Sufficient grace for even me. My transgressions singing, my sin and shame will magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
Everybody,
wonderful grace of Jesus. Transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing greater far than all my sins.
Father, thank you for allowing us to sing that today. Bring a little praise to you, Lord, for what we did here. Thank you, Lord, for all that participated in it. Lord, it means so much when we think about what our precious Savior did for us. Came here, He became sin for us, Lord, and bore the sins of this world. Thank you, Lord, for the great man that He was, but Lord, He was you incarnate. It was all because of your love for us. Guide and direct here today, Lord. Pastor's about to speak. Just praying for a great day, Lord. Help us to just honor and glorify you, Lord, as we sit here and listen to your message brought forth by John today, Lord. Just make him strong today, Lord. Use him. Help him as he speaks, Lord, that it would be something that each and every one of us is going to get today. Just guide and direct, Lord. Thanks for everybody that showed up today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 756, please. 756.
Cheer up, ye saints of God, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry for it all tomorrow morning.
Wow, thank you. Let's see. Oh, and you too. Okay. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't forget, we have communion also. Women's Bible studies on the 8th, 6 to 7 at Cottage Grove. Personal evangelism is the 8th and 22nd. Spire Nursing Home Bible studies on the 10th at 1:30. Men's outing on April 12th. Meet here at the church at 9:30. They're going to go to the Truck Museum in Walcott. There will be a remembrance gathering for Russell Ship at the Island Cemetery, 10 o'clock in the morning on the 26th. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning. Go ahead, Doug. Sure.
Yeah, just some more information about our outing up at the Truck Museum. We'll meet at 9:30 here at the church this Saturday, and we'll carpool up there. And there's always something they're adding to the museum, so look forward to that. Men, come along if you can, and we'll have a lunch there at Grandma's Kitchen, probably across the street. We'll go to the truck stop too. We'll see what the men want to do. But yeah, it's a real fun time, and you'll see trucks there that help build the country. You know, there's some history of the country behind all that freight hauling. See, from the beginning to the present day. So 9:30. Here's Saturday morning. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day and the opportunity to be here. Thank you again, Lord, for the songs that we get to sing, Lord, just in honor of you, just glorifying and praising your name. We've got a chance to give a small portion back to you now, Lord. I just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. Please be with my pastor, Lord. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Kim's going to play for us now, I think. Thank you.
yes, she still is my favorite flutist. Well, welcome, everyone. Trust you're having a good day in the Lord. I appreciated that song, Kim, because many times our life is not like a river glorious, is it, if we don't have God's peace as a part of it. I don't know how many of you, yes, and young folks, you can head down for children's church at this time. I don't know how many of you monitor the wind like I do every day. But I have noticed in the last couple of years we have wind that's unbelievable each and every day. And when we look at the river, thinking about the peace of the river that's being talked about there that is compared to peace in Jesus Christ, we see a lot of white caps, we see a lot of turbulence and tumultation. I think that's a proper word. Maybe today your life or my life may be in those type of straits. But today is a day, again, if we'll yield to the Lord, we can have perfect peace. I did notice this morning, I believe it's fairly calm outside today. Actually, I could not preach this morning. We'd go up and sit by the river. Watch it, Kim. But the truth of the matter is, maybe we need to do some of that, too, and soak up God's peace and have that in our lives. We live in a very tumultuous world, but there is peace through Jesus Christ. Greetings in His name this morning. It's good to see a nice group out. We always are missing a few people, and we always know there's room for one more, right? So be proactive, folks, in the path of your life where you walk. Invite people. Talk to people. Let them know that Fruitland Baptist Church is about proclaiming the love of God and the grace of God and the fellowship of His citizens here in this community. We're here for the Lord Jesus. We represent Him. And so we're glad that you're here today. There's no mistakes. God doesn't make any mistake. No one came here by mistake today. There will be a reason. And my prayer, as always, is that we never leave here the same as we came, that God's Word will have an impact on us. It might grow us today. It might change us today. It might transform us. It can also harden people's hearts as well. But we will not, any of us, leave here the same as we came. And that's an important thing. What will you receive today from the teachings empowered by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Anyway, it's good to see you this morning. We're going to take and we're especially glad if you're visiting today. Please be welcome here. We enjoy having you. If you have a need for anything, let your needs be made known, and they'll be answered. Seriously, I mean that. Anyway, though, we're here to worship, too, as well. This is not just a teaching session. It's not an encouragement session in totality, but it's a time, again, of worship, where we show God His worthiness. And let me tell you something, folks, on the basis of His Word and on the basis of the creation and all the works of God, He is worthy of our praise. More than we can ever give Him this day. So that's how we normally start out here, with just a few seconds of silent prayer. You may adjust your heart before the Lord. I'll have a short pastoral prayer. And then we'll get down the road on the second part of this message. And let me just say, this is about Samson. And the title of the message is Relinquishing God's Authority and Endorsement in Our Lives, A Dangerous Choice. And so we'll see what we can learn today from the account of a guy named Samson, who is found in Holy Scripture. Also, be considering in the next few weeks, we'll be shifting gears, talking about Jesus coming here incarnate in the flesh as God and His path to the cross. But not only His path to the cross, where He paid for our sins, but His empty tomb, where He rose victorious over the power of sin. And that's the new life He guarantees unto us. The cross is the central focus of all history, both looking toward it from the Old Testament perspective, and us in the New Testament looking back to it. That is where God manifested Himself and His love toward us, when He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to die, take the penalty of our sins, that we might have freedom and new life in Him. We're in the season of spring, season of new life. How is your life today as we go to prayer? Let's pray for a few moments silently, and I'll lead on with a pastoral prayer, and we'll look into the Word. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, as our hearts are humbled before your throne this morning, we thank you today for that throne of grace and mercy that is accessible to all people through the intermediary efforts of you, Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, as you hung on that cross bearing our sins in that most cataclysmic event of all time in this world, that the veil in that tabernacle was rent, which means now, Lord, that in our day, for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, we have direct access to the throne of God through the advocacy of you, Lord Jesus. And you are our high priest. We're made priests when we believe on you, to put our faith and trust in you. And we now have direct access to God the Father with you pleading our case as our attorney before his throne. So we thank you for that today, Lord. And may we use it today, not in a way that we need to be reverential and scared, although that is a component. We need to always understand that we are dealing with Almighty God. But we can come now to as a loving Father through this venue today, Lord, and express and pour out our greatest praises, our desires, our fears. Lord, all the things that are part of our life that we need help with so desperately from you today. Now, Lord, first of all today, as we've praised you, I also want to thank you for who you've sent through our doors, and I thank you where you've placed us in this community. And, Lord, Fruitland has access to a lot of this area through the different people and the diverse people that come here from locations and who they are. And I just pray today, Lord, that you'd help us to be a lighthouse, a refuge in our community where people can come to hear the truth spoken in love. So I pray for the communities around us here, Lord, and especially here at Fruitland where we're grounded, but Muscatine, Wilton, Grandview, Letts, everything around us here, Lord, where people that are in need and who want to walk in a way with you, Lord, that is an exciting, good path, Lord, to be on. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to have an influence in their lives in a good way in this community. Today, Lord, as I mentioned, I'm thankful for everyone that's here, but I'm also leaving in your sovereign control those who could not be here for various reasons. And we don't have any idea what many of those are. But Lord, we also would ask today that you'd work in their lives and in their hearts in whatever situation and circumstance they are in. Lord, there are some that are grieving. Today we think of the Sulzberger family. We think of the Arndt family at the loss of Wayne Crump. Sulzberger family with Steve. Lord, there are others in our midst who have passed into eternity in recent times. There are others that are struggling with age and infirmity, illnesses. Maybe today there was a fight in a home, Lord. Maybe Satan had his way today and people were deceived and misdirected on what was important today. But we thank you, Lord, that, again, your grace yet prevails. But help us, Lord, to understand that we need to also be accountable for how we handle your grace, and that you would continue to speak to our hearts and mold us and change us and renew us, Lord, through the power of your word. Now, Lord, we just pray today for the text that's before us. This is not a story about a guy named Samson, but it's an account of what actually happened. That's a historical account that's in Scripture for our benefit. And so today, Lord, I pray that you would teach us, cause us to question ourselves, but also cause us to use that throne of grace that is open to us today, that we get it right, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, we know that deception and destruction go hand in hand. But today, Lord, may a changed life be evident from the preaching of the word. Now, Lord, not only I ask that your spirit would be evident in our service today, we know that you are here with us today, Jesus. For two or more are gathered, there you are with us. But I also ask, Lord, that you would help me, a poor fool. And that's what your servant Paul said, that people that preach are fools, at least in the eyes of unsaved humanity, Lord. But today, again, I'm weak, but you're strong, and I am no one, only through what you may choose to do with me today, Lord. And I pray that you would help me. I stand here in need this morning. So I ask these things now, and again, that this would be a life-changing experience for all of us today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have access to scriptures today, whether in the paper form or electronic form, or if you need a scripture today, by the way, we give away Bibles here at Fruitland, and they are free of charge. And we would love you to have a copy if you need one, and to have that today, it'd be a personal pleasure and a blessing to give that to you today if you would need that. Usually there's some in the pews. I don't know if there is this morning or not. And it is not thievery to take a Bible. Did you hear me? Anyway, we've been looking at the account of Samson in the Bible and all the things that went along with it. And actually, our message title has the whole message right in the title, literally. But what happened with a guy named Samson? And let me tell you this today, folks. God doesn't work in accidental ways. He works in mysterious ways, but he always reveals the mysteries. And that's the case in our lives today. Samson was a guy, if you read the account as we began last week, his life was ordained of God, but Samson wasn't grounded in God to begin with. But the important thing to understand about Samson is that he was given many God-endowed blessings. And all of you know, even if you're not familiar intimately with the account of Samson, that he was a strong guy. And he had some powers that were above and beyond what normal humans had. Folks, these were all gifts that God had given Samson. They are not spiritual gifts, but they are grace gifts, endowments, that God gives to people who he uses. Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of us in this room possesses some of those types of endowments. The key is, how do we handle those endowments, and what do we do with them? Do we squander them away? My contention is here with Samson is that Samson, while he was known of God, he was endorsed of God, he had godly parents. I can't recap the whole account of what took place there, but Samson really didn't know the Lord personally. And folks, I believe there's a correlation in that that could be in all of us at some times before we're born again in Christ, and even the propensity to continue with that. And what I'm talking about here is the squandering of the things that God does for us before we get it right. And so the contention here today is this, if you don't take anything else out of this message, is we better get it right sooner than later. Because as I always say, you can buy back all kinds of things. You can, if you're short of money, you can take another job on. I'm not endorsing this. You could even steal. No, that's not scriptural. But you cannot get back time. And what we do and how we handle the things that God gives us are very important. And we'll regret, and I regret things in my life that I haven't handled in a way that is pleasing. So, we learned last time that Samson's endorsement and authority came from God. The second point that we're working on today, and we'll be in chapter 15 today, actually chapter 16, and because we covered 15 and a part of 16 last time. But the second point of this message of 3 points that we're working on today is Samson's path of relinquishment of authority and endorsement. And so if my lips will loosen up here, Lord, if you'll help me, we'll look into this a little bit deeper today. But something that, and I'll give you some points here as we work through the scriptures, but something that it's really important that we think about as well. And it really fits today with this second point about Samson and his pathway downhill as he relinquished, gave up some of the things that God had endued him with and the cost that came to that. And that's the word deception. Now, let me tell you, you'll see a lot of deception in this account today that we look into. Both deception that came from Samson and deception that came from others involving Samson. And I think it's fair to say in the world around us today, there's a lot of deception, isn't there? Can we all say without any doubt here this morning, we always are on the guard for what may happen in the financial spectrum? One day I was in the bank here several months ago. Someone had gotten a hold of a lady's debit card and wiped her out. You know, we don't know who to trust and who to believe in many cases anymore. And let's face it, folks, we're concerned about that. Now, I was out of town a couple of days this week, and I was on a mission. I won't go into that deeply. It was a mission for Jesus Christ, because that was a component of it as well. But I've decided I'd better not be gone too much anymore, because the stock market dropped almost 4,000 points in 2 days. Friends, don't be deceived by things that you may think you can count on. But I'll tell you one thing this morning, on the basis of the Word of God, you can count on Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. His ways And the things that he operates, the ways that he operates, will never change. You can count on Jesus. He is not a deceiver. But his adversary, Satan, is the ultimate deceiver. But folks, I got to get down to business here. But the ultimate deception that you may experience and I may experience today that is the most dangerous is when we deceive. I could stop preaching right now. We can go up and sit by the river. Self-deception is very dangerous, and we better be careful about that. It's one thing to be deceived by other sources, outside external sources, but when we deceive ourselves, it's the lead in to big trouble. And that's what was going on with Samson. Yes, he had the power and authority from God, but he had no personal relationship with the God of the Bible until the end of this account, when he finally got what? It's like I say in wrestling, and whoever's checking my repetitive statements here this morning, you don't look up till you're put on your back, right? So let's go into the text and let God's word speak for itself this morning. Last week, though, we did start in this just a little bit with 3 points that I brought forth. The first trouble that Samson got into when he was endowed with this great authority and strength and abilities that God gave him is that he disobeyed God by intermarrying with a Philistine woman and the associated events that went along with that. You also remember the retribution and all that was associated with his wife, and when his wife's dad took her away and gave him his sister, Samson rejected that. Remember the 300 foxes that had firebrands tied between their tails in pairs and went out and burned the whole crop of the Philistines down. So Samson had retribution and revenge. Maybe today you have revenge in your heart. Maybe even today here, if you're a born-again believer, you have some of these things that are influenced by Satan in your heart. And folks, they will not bring about a profitable thing with the endowments that God has given you as a believer. But if you're here as an unbeliever today, understand these things are the works of the flesh. They are not the works of the Spirit. And God has a different path for us to be on. By the way, if we're under the safety of the Lord in salvation, he tells us this, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." We don't have to take these things into our corner. He'll handle it for us, and he'll do it better than what we can. Amen? But in spite of all these things that took place, God used Samson as a judge in Israel for 20 years, and that's recorded twice in this text. God will use people even when they are not in full touch with him today. But God wants us to be in full touch. He wants us to be in a vibrant walk with him every day and experiencing to the uttermost the endowments that he has given us as his grace prevails in our heart. In chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, then we also find that after Samson intermarried with a Philistine woman, that he met a prostitute, a harlot. God works through all types of people. By the way, I was teaching in Moscow this morning about that. God has worked through many people that are unscrupulous, including and you, right? Yeah, and God's at work through all these things. Samson was involved with a harlot. But understand, Samson was also deceived in this situation, and he was under threat of being attacked. So that brings us to the character that we're going to look at today, who is most famous with Samson, and that is the lady? Samson and Delilah. Now, did I cover this last week? A little. Okay, someone want to tell me where? Otherwise, we'll start out with Delilah. Verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Delilah means amorous delight, languishing temptress. And it also means she knows. And I told you, I think, last week, and guys, especially beware of this today in your walk. The chicks have a lot of influence over us. And Samson had some troubles with the chicks. And a lot of characters in the Bible did. And a lot of characters could have as well in our day. We want to be careful. Very careful how we handle ourselves, whether you're a guy or a gal here today. Satan has deception and traps laid for all of us, folks. And it's very dangerous. We need to navigate those things very carefully. Anyway, It came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You heard what her name means. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. If you've studied about Samson, you know that he had strength that was beyond any human comprehension. It had to be divinely endowed, okay? And the thing about this is people wondered why. Where did this come from? But also in the back of the minds of people, which is in the back of our minds, is can his strength be what? Broken or overcome? Or how could what? How could we have that strength? By the way, I want to tell you this today. If you're walking in the power and might of God, you have the strength of Almighty God upon you. If you want to be strong today, be strong. I'm talking about Galatians 6 here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We hear a lot of deceptive talk today with pronouns like I, me, so forth. It better be Him. Okay? That's where the power and might lies, just in case you wonder today. You don't get it humanly generated. It comes from divine generation of Almighty God, folks. Anyway, right away they said, let's find out what's going on here. So Samson has a propensity to be weak with the chicks, and there's enemies there that have been brought about to see his strength be diminished. And so they go and say to Delilah here in verse 5, hey, we'll give every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And so Delilah has a stake in this game too, because she wants to be rich. Because money's always a tempting thing, isn't it? And power and influence and so forth. And so in verse 6, Delilah says to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And of course, Samson, not knowing technically that he's being deceived here, but also understand, if you're deceived, oftentimes you also are a deceiver. Because Samson knew where his strength came from. Remember, we learned last week he was a Nazarite. He knew that this had come from God, but Samson wasn't processing that in the proper perspective yet. Let me tell you, friends, he soon would get it figured out. But Samson also was deceiving Delilah. When you see that combination come to pass, there's an anatomy of an explosion in that kind of a relationship. Let me just say that. If you or I may be struggling in those areas today. So she says, and I can see her fluttering eyelids. By the way, I never lay on Kim's lap with my head. Nor do I ever give her a scissors. Well, I don't have too much to worry about there anyway. Not anymore anyway. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, where's this strength? I'm paraphrasing here. Where does it come from? And how could you be bound? What would stop, again, you from being able to exercise this strength? Verse 7, Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes or vines that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. So what's Delilah think here? Oh, he spilled the beans. He told me the truth. And verse 8, then the lords of the Philistines, of course, Delilah conveys that message. They bind him with 7 green vines. That's what a withe is, which had not been dried. And she bound him with them. And by the way, those things are very hard to work with, green vines and so forth. They're as tough as they can be, just like a new rope and so on and so forth. I don't want to get agricultural on you here today, and I don't know who we've got that ever used to cultivate, especially in the cornfield. But one of the things that I just struggle with all the time is when you'd run into morning glory vines with a cultivator. Anyone, Doug, have you ever experienced that? But you go into that patch of vines and you say, I'd like to nail those vines. And then about halfway through, you start to hear pop, 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 pop in a cornfield. And the vines are caught between the cultivator sweeps. And you know what? Tell me the rest of it. You gotta put the tractor in neutral and get down. Pick all the vines out of the sweeps. Throw them in behind. Start again. If you've got a lot of morning glories in a field, Woodrow, that can test your patience, can it? I never liked that, having to fight with the vines. And they are tough. They are hard to get off. Anyway, Samson here is encountered with this when he tells Delilah. Now in verse 9, there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he broke the vines, or the width, like a thread of yarn, literally, when it touches fire. So his strength was not known. And so once again, he had done what? In his deception to Delilah, she had lied to him as she fluttered her eyelids. "Tell me your strength, Samson." She was being used by someone, but Samson also did what to her? He lied to her. By the way, folks, lying is a deception. Deception is lying. Can you dig it? And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Tell me, Samson, tell me the truth." And he turned unto her, verse 11, "If they bind me with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as any other man." And Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liars in wait. Yeah, they weren't only liars as in lying in wait. They were a bunch of liars and deceivers as well, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Well, now, what would you be thinking here if you were Delilah? Well, those 1,100 pieces of silver still are worth going after, right? So we'll go to round three with Samson. Maybe he'll come clean now. But obviously, she was thinking, what? This guy is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's not going to reveal what is going on here. Delilah, therefore, said to Samson in verse 13, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web." Now remember, it's very likely that Samson not had what we would even call long hair, but he had super long hair. I've seen some articles and different things different times about people that let their fingernails grow. I have some questions I won't bring forth here at the pulpit, but does someone need water? I don't have any. Oh, I do have a small glass here this morning. How in the world do you button your clothing with fingernails that are several feet long? You've seen all these accounts, right? Huh? There are other things that we do. You must have to have an assistant with you. And I'm wondering if you have to scratch your head. I didn't go into what you might need an assistant for, but if you have to scratch your head, how can you get the nails? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, young lady. Something worth thinking about, right? Please forgive me. I can't remember all your names at school, but I'm glad you're here today. You're just fortunate that I'm in a good mood today, because usually at school, what do? When things get out of hand? Start to growl a little bit, but not today. I'm not in a growly mood. Anyway, it goes on here. And what happened to my book here? Oh, I turned the page. That's what happened. So Samson probably had hair since he'd never had a cut in his whole life. How long could it have been? I'm thinking down to his knees. Maybe even longer. Okay? By the way, why did we learn last week that God gave Samson that long hair as a Nazarite, one who's dedicated to God? Because as I said last week, if you have longer hair, you know that you will always have to contend with it. And it was what to Samson? It was a reminder to him daily of God's endowment. But the big dummy, he didn't see what was obvious right before him. Samson wasn't redeemed at that time. He had not placed his faith in the God of the Bible. And folks, that's the way it is with us. Until we're born again in Jesus Christ, we don't see things the right way. Our eyes have not been opened. Let's see how this turns out. So she fastens his hair with a pin and says to him, again, "The Philistines are upon you." By the way, remember what he did here in the account with the Philistine people and the gate of the city. He walks away with the whole gate and goes up a hill and says, "Look at this." I said the gate minimum had the posts and the supporting members with it and so forth were at least as white as this church building is. A nominal gate. Samson just picks it up and goes. Like I said, I could use him on the farm. I'd have a place for him. The Philistines be upon thee. This is verse 14. And he wakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. In other words, everything she'd woven into his hair. This is like a loom. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a loom, but it's a weaving machine. A good-sized thing. And Samson pulls it with his hair. And she says unto him, verse 15, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Oh, Samson, if you really love me, tell me, where does your strength lie? You have mocked me these three times and told me wherein thy, and has not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, and here's a very important thing here, folks, and I'm going to pick on the ladies here a little bit, but I said before, on the basis of Scripture, not on the basis of Kim, even though she has a lot of power over me, it's very rare that I refuse what Kim asks, intentionally anyway. She's a very reasonable lady, and I love her dearly. But notice here in the King James, the words, when she pressed him daily. Ladies, you might learn a principle from this in Scripture. If you want to get something done, you got to nag him. Men, have you ever been nagged? Don't raise a hand. But let me tell you, when the powers that be come down with things that need to be done, and it's a gal, most of the time, tell me, you can respond on this, what's going to happen? Let me tell you, Kim has a limit. She says, John, there's certain things that need done, and I've told you. Yeah, she's been working on me 47 years. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. And that's what happened with Samson. It says here in the King James, she urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Modern vernacular, he got sick and tired of hearing her harping on him every day. The power of a woman. And it came to pass when she pressed him, I read that, verse 17, that he told her all his heart. Now, one of the things in where his strength lied that was, again, a visible thing was his hair. And the Nazarite mandate, which we looked at some of that, you can find that in Numbers, but is that his hair should never be cut. And old Samson allowed himself now to come under deception, and he's going to reveal, again, because he's not walking in the Spirit, he's not walking in obedience to God, he's walking in the flesh. And that's where we get into trouble, folks. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, what? You'll not come under the what? The directives of the flesh. It's a very important biblical principle. And notice in verse 17, he spilled his guts. King James rendering of that in the Hebrew is what? He told her all his heart. I don't know, my grandma Robinson used to have a saying. I can't remember what that is right now. Tell it all. She had a name that she used for that. But I'll tell you what, Samson spilled the beans here. And he told her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, because I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Samson knew about God. He knew about the endowments from God. But what didn't he do? He didn't take it with a genuine heart in a way that was usable to God. Samson was going to have to end up getting put on his back. And Samson revealed his own weaknesses again to someone that made him vulnerable, and that was Delilah. We better watch how we handle ourselves, folks. That's the principle here. But the first thing is not with the chicks or with the guys. It's with God. He says, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, the big shots, in other words, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Delilah's motive in all this was what? Deception. Absolutely. She wanted the money. How do you think Delilah knew he was sincere this time? You know something, folks? You know when people are sincere or when they're a con artist. You can tell it. Some of you that have had me as a sub, I can tell you a lot about people through looking in their eyes and looking at their hands, how genuine they are. Let me ask us all today, are we genuinely on board with Jesus? Are we genuinely on board with what He's given to us today if you're a born-again believer here? If you're not here today as a born-again believer, a saved person, are you on board to understand that it all came from God? He's just let you use it. He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to be forgiven. He sent His Son for your sake at the cross of Calvary to take your penalty. And all we must do is believe. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot earn our way. We're not good enough. But Jesus is. And He died for us and loves us. Hallelujah. And it's no deception. Well, the story goes on here in 19. And she made him sleep on her knees. Never lay your head on a gal's lap, folks. Or give her a scissors. Called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went with him. By the way, that word afflict in the King James rendering there means she began to poke and tease Samson. That tells you about the heart of Delilah. She was wicked as they come. By the way, don't marry a Delilah. Or if you run into someone named Jezebel, men, steer clear. You heard it from me first. Verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Samson learned a valuable lesson here that changed his heart. The endowments that he had been given from God that he had not used the proper way now were gone. And I'll tell you what, folks, he knew it at this point. He knew it at this point. Now we have to be brief because time's ticking away. But the Philistines took him. They put out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza. Yeah, that's the same Gaza that we hear in the news. And bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. What he was doing there, folks, he was made into a replacement for an animal. They hooked him up to a grinder to grind the wheat. And he's poked out. He can't see anymore. He becomes just what? Slave labor, but even worse than that, because he lost some of his faculties. That's another thing that God gave him, his eyes, and he ended up losing that, see? All of it. But here's the thing that's important in verse 22. But, and I always say what, or how be it in this case, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Why did his hair come back? It came back as a reminder of what? God's grace. That God is not done with people till He's done. And God is not done with any of us here today, whether we've understood what God has given us, we've been born again in Christ. The program's not over. But neither is it over if you happen to be in these seats this morning apart from Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to be put on your back before you can look up, just like in wrestling. Now, notice, I have to paraphrase this because of time. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. He's mentioned quite a bit in the scripture, little g god. And to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Well, the thing is, folks, and this is, I'm speaking specifically to born-again Christians here today. When we fail to acknowledge God's endowment in our lives, it gives God's enemies great ammunition. Don't ever forget that. But let me tell you something. Dagon is not a god like the God of the Bible. And when the people saw him, he is a false god, is what I'm trying to say. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Folks, be careful as Christians about this very thing. But the whole thing is not over yet. Because it came to pass when the hearts, verse 25, were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And again, they were going to mock him. They were going to use him as a what? A spectacle of their victory. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. By the way, any structure of mass proportions is held up by a supporting structure. Samson, even though he was blind, he asks here to be set in a certain point in a building. Now again, today here, if you were wanting to take the superstructure of Fruitland Baptist Church down, there's two ways, really, again, that could be done most easily, and that is to remove the underpinning in the middle of the floor, or somehow, along with that, weaken the structure in here from the triangle. Triangle's the strongest supporting structure ever, in the roof, in the gable. And Samson here knows what's going on. You see, what happened here is that Samson now realized, since he was put on his back, he needed God. And he asked God to come back. Not to come back, but he asked God and believed on God, and God came into his life now in reality. His grace was made present again, where he said his hair began to grow. Now Samson's heart is changed. And that's the key to anything. It's our heart. It's not the things of the flesh. It's not the external, but Samson had the internal changed. Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars wherein the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Samson knew some things about that structure that was there. And he knew by feel where the supporting points were in this structure. But that's only one thing. In his unmanifested strength now that it's been taken away, could he have done anything with those pillars? No. But Samson, I believe here, began to place his faith and trust in the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. And I believe he received him. And he by faith, he believed him then. He knew. And he says, God, one more time, give me that strength. So let's see how this turns out. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines, the big shots, were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. By the way, many years ago in Kansas City, it happens all the time around the world. There was a hotel, and I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but remember that? They had a whole party of people on that balcony in that hotel, and they were dancing. Remember that? And remember what happened to that situation? Caved the whole thing in. Several people lost their lives. It was a tragic event. Now the house was full. They were watching Samson. They were making fun of Samson. But you know what? This is how I know that Samson had faith in the Lord, because here's the difference here. You never saw in Samson's life till this point that he what? You see the word? He called on the Lord. By the way, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Okay? And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. By the way, and I think what he acknowledged here, he said in effect, remember me, this sinful guy, and all you gave me and how I've squandered it away. Folks, today, there may be someone here, I have no idea where your spiritual situation is, but there may be someone here today that needs to call upon the name of the Lord and say, remember me, O Lord. I want to get this right before it's too late. I want to have the power of your blessings back upon me. By the way, yeah, we might be a minute late. Is there any problems with that? And if it is the third slip in the file, well, it's been good knowing you all these years. There was a mobster out in the East Coast. Have I told this before? Teflon Don. They could never put any, they could never make any charges stick. Alicia, you'll like this one. But you know something, folks? When we walk in the power and might of God, we're like Teflon Don. Not we take that as a cocky thing or that it's always going to be that way, but let me tell you, God can see us through things that we never have been would have been able to do in the flesh, in our own strength. Let's see how this turns out. Samson called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. By the way, folks, we could pray this prayer every day. You know what my most common prayer is that I utter to the Lord? Three words. Help me, Lord. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. By the way, we talked about this earlier in the message. Samson didn't say that I can avenge the Philistines, but that I might be avenged. He allowed who to do this? God. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up. We could have a lesson in engineering here this morning, but we won't. Of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell on the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death, and you remember all the people that he took out in God's power that was not his necessarily before, were more than they which he slew in his life. And there's a principle there, folks. When we get it right and do it God's way, it's going to be better than anything you've ever experienced before. Hallelujah. Amen. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Praise God, Samson came to know the God of Israel personally. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're going to see Samson in heaven. We're going to see a lot of people in heaven that maybe weren't the best of characters here on earth. But that's why Jesus came to the cross. For people like that. People like me. People like you. Samson's relationship with Delilah and the associated events of deception and his authority and endowment were lost until he got things figured out. It's probably high time, isn't it, folks, that we get things figured out. But the third point was that Samson's heart was changed as it was shown in God's purpose restored along with his true heart toward God that was really now genuine. Praise God. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. What can we learn from Samson? Was this just an exercise today in polishing the pews? Turning the pages of the Bible? No, it shouldn't have been. We should have been able to grab something from this to use. Here's what we need to grab. God wants us to acknowledge Him and His endowment and authority under our hearts in proper perspective with Him. It's all about Him. But He wants to use us. It's not the external strength, but it's the internal spirit-empowered person that God wants to really use. Did you hear that? It's not the external strength, but the internal spirit-empowered person that God wants to really use. My last questions today, two questions. Where are you and I at on this today? You don't need to answer me, but you may want to answer yourself and the Lord. And then lastly, isn't it time to stop relinquishing the real power of God in our lives? Thank you, Lynn. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 550. This is a classic closing hymn that can really tug at your heart. A lot of times I get very tearful when I sing this. But remember this today, at least as far as I can see today, God is still working with us softly and tenderly. Why not answer Him today and call Him back? He loves us dearly. Don't squander what God has given you and I today, but use it for His eternal glory. If you need Jesus today, never be ashamed to call on Him, just like Samson. He'll answer. And you can be assured of what your eternal status will be forever, but also of what will lie ahead for you in your walk. It may not be a bed of roses, but it'll be the right path when we go with Jesus. Here we go. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Jesus is calling you today. You know, He tried to call Samson a long time, but finally they got the connection made. But as we sing that chorus one more time, respond to Jesus. Your life will change just like it did for Samson. Let's sing it. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Woodrow, would you dismiss us today in prayer?